Morning, happy Sabbath. Today's scripture reading is in John 14, 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there may be also. And whither I go, know, and the way I know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not to whither what thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto Father but by me.
I want to thank Vanna this morning for reading. She has served every time called. I thank her. She'll be graduating shortly and going off to college. So we will miss her, but we're happy that she's continuing her education. Our common union. What is communion? Merriam-Webster says, communion is a coming together for spiritual fellowship. Communion is a group of people who have a common religious faith. Communion is a gathering where there is a common interest that unites. This morning I submit to you that Jesus Christ is our common union. Amen. I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Father, this morning I ask, as we take just a few minutes to look at communion, look at the Last Supper you had with your disciples, may we just take a moment and appreciate what was done. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Common union. That's where we get the word communion. A common bond that unifies us. A common belief that we all subscribe to. Communion. Fellowship. There's so much more that can be found in Christ. There's so much more that we, when we come together, can appreciate. Remember Pentecost. They got rid of all the minor stuff. Forgave each other. Prayed together, and something wonderful happened. This morning, I just want to take a few minutes to speak about communion. Many of us know, if we have any visitors here, we have one visitor, welcome again. The communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. If you've done that, experienced that at other churches, very similar. This story is found in the Gospel, the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic meaning similar view, similar presentation. In John 13, John records a contrasting view. Similar, yes, but not as in line with Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so the reader, if the reader reads Matthew 26 and Mark 14 and Luke 22 with John 13, you get a holistic view of what was happening. You get a better view. As well, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 11, he gives a lot of feedback, a lot of insight in how to prepare yourself, what should be done. So we have further education and further insight into communion. But this morning, I don't want to spend a very long time here. I just want to take a moment and look at one thing that the Apostle Paul says. Luke 22 is recorded as saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul says the same thing in 1 Corinthians 11. He says, "Do this in remembrance of me." So I just want to take a few minutes and just look at the word remembrance. To remember. To contemplate. To consider. To not forget. And the first idea I'd like you to remember this morning is the prophecy of salvation. In Genesis 3, we find Adam and Eve have sinned. And they're hiding in the garden. And when the Lord finds them, Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. They don't know what to do. The light that was covering them is gone because they're naked and they're hiding and they're ashamed. And the Lord comes to them and he says, "What happened?" They said, "What happened?" And the first thing the Lord did, before he said, "Adam, you're going to have to work hard to make a living." Before he said, "Eve, something which was be fantastically pleasurable is going to cause you great pain." Before he cut the lamb's throat as the first sacrifice, he gave the solution. He said to the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman's seed." Hatred. And he said, verse 14, "Serpent, you are now cursed. You will crawl on your belly. And you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And this enmity I will put between your seed and the woman, between you and the woman and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise its heel." Before there was a problem, there was a solution. Before God told Adam the consequences of his sin, he reminded him, "It's going to be all right." So as we go into communion today, remember God's love was so great that he planned for every contingency to redeem and restore our relationship. The second thing I want to share with you, the remembrance. Remember the act of redemption. Redemption. Jesus was sitting with his disciples in the upper room, knowing his time was at hand. The Bible says that they didn't quite understand everything that was going on. Jesus knew in just a matter of hours he would suffer death on the cross. The act of redemption. Why? Well, I was speaking with a friend of mine last week when I was in the Caribbean, and he asked me this question: why, if God is so good and gracious, would he let his son die? Why would his son have to die if God is merciful? And I reminded him, I said, you know, God's law is perfect. It cannot be changed. So someone had to step in and suffer that consequence. If not God, then we would suffer eternal death. If God didn't allow Christ to step in, if God didn't allow that substitution, didn't change the law, it fulfilled the contract of the law. So the second thing I want you to remember before we go into our breakaway, into our foot washing, the act of redemption. Peter tells us that in 1 Peter 1:18, for you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Revelation 1:4 tells us, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Isaiah has a wonderful description in Isaiah 53. He says, surely he took upon our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are now healed. The third remembrance I want to share with you this morning is the promise of reunification. This whole story, sequence of stories in the Bible, sequence of events after sin, are for one thing and one thing only: reunifying Christ with his creation. Getting rid of the separation that divides. And when Christ rose from the grave, he rose victorious. It didn't mean that we don't have to pay a consequence. It just means that we know the final score. It doesn't mean the road won't be bumpy. It means we will get to the end. We are assured of that because he rose victorious. He has the keys over death. When I was in Jamaica last weekend, my brother-in-law's mother passed away. She was 99 and one half. 99 and a half, that's a big number. The last time I saw her was 2 years ago. Her niece was getting married. I came up to her and she said, Mr. Paul, how are you doing? 99 and a half. That was, put her at 97. And we saw her the weekend. And you think, 99 and a half. My mom's sister passed away a few years ago at 100. These are big numbers. These are long runs. Her mind was sharp until the very last day of her life. Despite this long life, They're resting in the grave. Despite having God's an abundance, 70, 70, some of them almost 50, they're still waiting. But we have this hope because we know that when he comes again, if you die in Christ, you can only be raised up in Christ. John says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." That's the promise of reunification. Revelation 20, verse 12 says, "Look, I come quickly, and my reward is with me." There are a lot of unbelievers saying, you know, I'm not sure about this Christianity. I'm not sure if I believe. But I know this, when I see him coming, I'll repent. When I see him coming, I will give my life to him. When I see him coming, I will start to serve him. That doesn't make sense. It's like saying, when I see the plane pull out from the gate, I know that plane is good. I'll run to the gate and see if I can get on the plane. When I hear the all doors closing at the subway, I'll start running. Hey, that train is working. I'll run and get on that train. It doesn't make sense. It's possible for me to catch another plane. I've missed a plane before. It's possible for me to catch another train. I've missed a train before. But I will not have a second chance to get on this train. I will not have a second chance to get to glory. I am coming soon, and my reward is with me. It's all or nothing game. Are you in or are you out? Blessed are those who wash their robes that they may have the right to the tree of life and may go through the gates into the city. Blessed, another word for blessed, happy. Another word for happy, joyous. Another word for joyous, ecstatic. Another word for ecstatic, overcome with emotion. Are we going to be when we walk into the city? The promise of reunification, the promise of that divide being put away forever. Last verse I want to read with you is Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had been passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he shall wipe every tear from their eyes. For there will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order, for the former things, have passed away." That is the promise of the reunification. We're going to go back to how it was, perfection. That's why God's law cannot change. It's perfect. There's no need to change. We need to meet the standard. It's going to be a great time for those who look forward to his coming. They'll be ecstatic, joyous, overcome with emotion. Blessed, happy, and every other adjective that you could put It will not describe the feeling. But for those who are not prepared to meet him, every antonym to those words that you can come up with will not express their grief, will not express the sorrow they have because they are not looking for him. They're not looking for a city. They're not looking for that Christ. They're not looking for redemption, not looking for salvation. They are happy where they are. And when they see it come to pass, it's like, wow, I could have had that. I should be on the inside instead of on the outside looking in. So this morning, I just want you to take a moment and just remember. We do this in remembrance of what he has done for us. Salvation. Before there was a problem, there's a solution. We have an advantage over others because we heard the prophecy of salvation. We heard, and it's been recorded, the crucifixion and the act of redemption. All we're looking for is that one last event. The promise of unification, him coming back, and receiving those who are looking for his coming. Now, I'm not a gambling man. You watch people play these big international poker games or these localized ones on television, and people are sweating. They're trying to figure out, what are the odds? This lottery we hear. Remember, I was a kid, and we took high school. We started looking at the numbers and mathematics, statistics. We started cranking out, well, if you buy one ticket, 50 cents, a buck, what is the payout? Exponential. What are the odds? Infinitesimal for $1. You watch, you see these card players, and everyone's with a poker face, and they're looking at the cards on the table and trying to figure out, it's a numbers game. What's the possibility? And you're looking at the guy across there, and he's looking at you, and everyone's sitting here trying to figure out, how do I play this next hand? Eventually, someone wins, and everyone else loses. But the difference with this is that salvation is free. Salvation is free, but it costs you, as a disciple, it costs you everything. You have to commit to it. You can't play a good hand and kind of step back for a second hand and come strong. Every day you have to commit to it. And the difference between playing some game of chance and this prophecy, I'm coming again, this promise, I will see you soon, is that you lose some money if you lose the game. You lose eternity. You lose a concept that is hard for humans to understand, eternity. When did it start? When does it end? If you study mathematics, there's a symbol for eternity. It's like, it just goes on and on and on. That is what you miss if you don't play the hand given to you. It's not a hard game. It's an easy game. It's hard to get out of the way and let Christ do for you what he wants to do for you, to do in you what he wants to do in you. I submit to you today. I submit to those who are listening online that if we will simply consecrate our lives to Christ. If you'll remember what he did for us, before there's a solution, a problem, before there's a problem, he had the solution. Solution was the act of redemption, and he came through for us. And if you remember that, he said, I'm coming soon. If we order our lives around our priorities, and if that's our top priority, we'll be one of those looking for his soon coming. We'll be one of those that don't let the trappings and the glitter get in the way of that constant, regular prayer, that constant submission to Christ. Salvation's free, but discipleship costs everything. But the payout is exponential. There is no number that can calculate, express what's going to come for those who make that last bet, bet on Christ. It gets dark, bet on Christ. You have $1 left, bet on Christ. You're not sure where to stand? Stand with Christ. So this morning I invite our guest, our one guest. We have an open communion here. The ladies will be in the fellowship hall, the men will be in the classrooms on the right. We welcome you to join us.